welcome everyone to another edition of Extreme Mayhem. Yes, this is Jeff Meacham starting the show, and that's because Mike Nagel worked a 17-hour day yesterday, and he's tired as hell.
Oh, nobody cares about my day anymore, Jeff. It's okay.
No, they don't, but I figure they should know why I'm doing the intro instead of you, because you always have the dynamic intro, and, well, mine aren't as well.
I wouldn't say dynamic. I'd say unique, original, fabuloso, but not dynamic, I don't think.
And I'm basically the, quote, straight man to your funny man, so mine are boring. So, anyway, Jeff Meacham here, Mike Nagel here, Aaron Richt is here with us once again. Yeah. And all I got to say is we have a big, big guest today, and I'm not talking just big in terms of name. I'm talking big in terms of size. This guy is close to 7 feet tall. He's over 300 pounds. He's one of only 10 men in the history of the business to hold both the WWF and WCW world titles.
He ended Shawn Michaels' streak at the Garden.
That's right.
In 96.
96. Of course, we're talking about Psycho Sid Vicious, Sid Justice. He's the man, the master, the ruler of the world. Sid in general, he's on the show today.
Lord Humongous for the Memphis guys.
Yes, Lord Humongous for you.
The
Memphis
original
fans.
Lord Humongous. He was a skyscraper. He's worked for the UWF. He's worked everywhere.
He's the Millennium Man.
He was even in ECW, just powerbombing everybody and anybody. He's been all over this crazy wrestling business of ours, and, well, he's on the show today. But that's at the end of the show. Let's get to the beginning of the show. First thing I want to talk about, guys, is SmackDown. Mike, I know you worked again, and you barely got home in time to see the VMAs, let alone SmackDown. So
I will say, if SmackDown can pull out stuff like Madonna and Britney Spears, French kissing, I guarantee they'd get higher than a 2.9 rating.
That's what I'm talking about.
They got a 2.6, actually.
Well, whatever. The
but
point
keep in mind that they had preemptions in about 10 markets.
I believe after the results came in, because all the shows were done today, the final overall rating was a 2.9.
2.6. Oh.
No, after today.
Okay, guys, it doesn't matter. The bottom line is
it was under a 3.
Yeah, the ratings are still shit, and we've got two big-time pop icons, French kissing on the VMAs, and they're getting the better ratings.
I bet that got a 21 share.
It wouldn't surprise me. And see, and here's the thing.
At least.
They posted on the forum so many times, I can actually tell you how big Britney's tongue is by now. They posted that picture so many goddamn times. And see, and nobody gives a shit about what happened on SmackDown. I don't even remember off the top of my head.
You know what's funny? Like, on the forums, like, first they had regular pictures of the kissing, then they had larger pictures of the kissing, then they had even larger pictures of the kissing.
They had lesbian, HLA at the VMAs was the post, and then they had closer up pics, and they had closer up pics.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, these guys have way too much time in their hands when they're zooming in on Britney's tongue. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but
it's a good thing.
What's that?
It's never a bad thing with Britney. It's always
a good thing.
A good thing.
Exactly. It's a good thing. Throw in the big DDP smile. But we're here to talk about wrestling. You know, despite what some people think, we are a wrestling show.
Well, since Christina's Dirty video is based in a type of boxing / wrestling ring, I say they mask her up and have Los Lutador in there with Britney Spears.
Yeah, there you go. That works for me. Anyway, SmackDown, The Undertaker becomes the number one contender for the WWE Championship.
Big deal.
But he'll be facing at Kurt Angle next week on SmackDown.
Their matches are never the most spectacular matches in the world.
No,
didn't in their first match, Angle hit him with a wrench that made like a kiddie toy sound?
Something like
it went
that.
Bang.
That was back at Fully Loaded 2000, or actually the lead-in to Fully Loaded 2000. What else happened on SmackDown? Refresh my memory. My brain is, like, melted right now.
Well, I'll tell you, Mike Cupcakes. Eddie Guerrero came out at the beginning of the show.
And beat up John Cena.
Oh, that's right, because he was home in El Paso. He came in through the crowd. And Riff, what did we tell you last time about calling us Cupcakes?
Well, I could call you guys Pop-Tarts.
You could just say...
And I could call you a big, jelly-filled cunt sack. How about that?
There you go.
Yeah. All right, anyway, so
the Starfish
came out, and he later defended the title successfully against John Cena as a result of a disqualification.
You know what I want to see?
Yes.
I want to see Fred Durst either go to TNA or back to WWE and, like, be involved in a storyline where, like, he's not supposed to get hurt, and then D'Lo drops him on his head.
That's what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Yes, well, we all know how much you adore Fred Durst, Mike, so...
I'll fucking fight him.
I'd rather see that happen to Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake at least isn't, like, trying to be all hard and stuff. Like, he's trying to be black. He's not trying to be, like, hard like Fred Durst is.
He's trying to get out of that NSYNC role, and it's not happening. He's still a frickin' little teeny bopper, and it's ridiculous.
I could whoop his ass. I could whoop his ass.
You could whoop his ass.
Anybody could.
Well, yeah. Heck, I could. But anyway.
That's saying something.
Exactly.
You know he's got to reach his demographic, so he has to act black, like,
yeah,
so people will buy his records.
Yep, that's it. Also, we saw a little continuation of the Benoit Rhino storyline, because Albert lured Benoit in, and Rhino just speared the hell out of him.
Boring.
I mean, not spear, gore, excuse me.
Boring.
Yes.
Did you say boring or goring?
I said boring.
Boring, as in the Lance Storm, Steve Austin chant of boring.
As in A-Train. As in A-Train is so boring.
Yes, and if I still had the track queued up from my computer, I would play it, but I don't have it queued up. So, what else is going on with WWE, Riff? What else happened on SmackDown? My brain is not all here.
Neither is mine, and I didn't even watch all of SmackDown because I was switching back and forth between the VMAs and watching that stinking, lousy band Coldplay winning all these awards.
Fuck Coldplay, fucking...
Fuck Coldplay, there you go.
Fucking band.
So easy.
Don't take my gig.
I'm watching Velocity right now. I know that's scary. They're having Billy Gunn against one of the Bashams, and we've got Tori Wilson, Jamie Noble, and Nydia cheering on Billy Gunn.
So Jamie Noble is Billy Gunn's significant other now?
I guess so, because like it's getting weirder and weirder, because you got the Bashams and, well, Bradshaw would say Shelton Benjamin, but it's really Shaniqua out on the floor, and then you've got Tori Wilson, Nydia, and Jamie Noble cheering on Billy Gunn on the other side. This storyline is just getting weird by the day.
Nydia looks like Raven.
What's that?
Nydia looks like Raven. She's, like, fat.
Yeah, well, that should be interesting then, because Alexis Larife been signed by WWE, so maybe they'll have a feud.
What the hell happened to Billy Gunn's hair?
I don't know.
What the hell?
What?
He just did a Billy Gunn-type thing with the ass-raping move.
Yes. Now, is that Doug or is that Danny? In the ring.
This is disgusting. I'm sick to my stomach. This is boring as all hell. I'm sick of it.
All right. Well, then let's move on, by all means. We had a long interview with Sid coming up here in just a few minutes, but, of course, we want to address you guys at the mailbag. So I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick commercial break right now.
Let's come back with the mailbag.
What's that?
Let's come back with the mailbag.
That's what we were going to do.
All right. Let's do
That's
that.
That's what I was trying to do. I was trying to take a break, damn it.
All right.
All right. Take the break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is a franchise, Shane Douglas, telling you that when you want the lowdown on wrestling news, there's only one place to get it on the net. Come to themayhem.com and my boys, my franchisees, Jeff and Mike. Got it? Get it? Good.
WrestlingBashEdge.com. There you'll find the best wrestling news. And don't forget weforums.com. Make sure you check out wrestling-edge.com, the only pro wrestling source you need.
Want live coverage of wrestling pay-per-views? Check out ppv.themayhem.com, where you can find out the latest on every wrestling pay-per-view, past and future. We got it all covered.
For the latest in the world of wrestling, check out wrestlingnewsworld.com. WNW imagery, exclusive guest columns, and daily babes are just some of the website's great features. WrestlingNewsWorld.com, your online source for pro wrestling.
We are back here in Extreme Mayhem. Mike, Jeff, and Aaron Riff with us.
Hey, Jeff, I thought you had an announcement you wanted to make.
I do have an announcement to make. I will save that for the end of the mailbag.
All right, that's cool.
Thank you, sir. Also, NWA TNA announced real quick Wednesday night, War Games next week, but let me fill you all in. It's not going to be War Games. It's going to be the same rules, but one ring with one regular size cage.
It's War Games. It's just TNA style. WWE owns the rights to the other version, so they couldn't call it War Games if they did the other version.
Are you kidding? WWE owns the right to War Games?
Well, it's a WCW trademark.
What's the point of having that? They're never going to use a freaking thing.
You never know.
Eh. They've had it for 2 years. They've had a War Games match yet. What's the hell the point?
Well,
they have the Elimination Chamber and the Hell in a Cell. They don't need another chamber.
They'll get rid of Hell in a Cell and put in a War Games.
There you go. The Chamber's a cool match, so I agree. Get rid of Hell in a Cell and bring in War Games. Hell in a Cell's been overdone.
They won't bring in any gimmicks that WCW came up with.
What? War Games was so successful, though. War Games was so over. Even, well, actually, the 1 year they changed it was really bad. When they had DDP win and become the number one contender by himself, that was kind of stupid.
Yeah, but Vince only likes doing his own ideas.
What's that? One more time, Rift?
Yeah?
I said, what did you say? You cut out on me. I didn't hear what you said.
I said that Vince is not going to use War Games because he only likes using his own ideas.
Ah, I see. Well, and that's why they're getting a 2.6, a 2.9, whatever. Anyway, it's time for the Extreme Mailbag, everybody. Da-da-da-da, whatever. Woohoo. Oh, Tyon Velocity, number one contender match for the Cruiser title. Whoopie-doo, Billy and Tajiri. Billy Gunn, not Billy Gunn, Billy, whatever his name is, Kidman and Tajiri. All right.
Nobody cares about Velocity, and Jeff, you know it.
Well, I care about it because there actually are some decent matches when you watch it long enough. All right, the first mailbag question tonight comes from Nydia's number one fan, CBates32, or whatever the hell you say it. Do you know or have you heard anything about WWE selling old WCW tapes as they own the rights to WCW? I think they should do this, as the selection of the videos WCW gave to the fans when they were in business was absolutely terrible. I have not heard anything about that, nor would I be surprised if they... Actually, I would be surprised if they did. All they're doing is taking the WCW matches and the footage and putting it on their own tapes.
Yeah, as part of a WWE DVD.
Exactly. I mean, look at the NWO DVD next time you guys take a look at it.
Or like the Best of Confidential, I think they put the Booker T versus Steiner match on there.
Yeah, there's a lot of WCW stuff on that Best of Confidential because we talked about the history of WCW and things like that.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, I'm going to ask you this one since Rift hates this division.
Okay.
This is from IHW13, who has a kick-ass avatar. Go check out the Mayhem.com forums. You'll see what I mean. You guys talk about a lot of the titles, but I was wondering about the one you don't often talk about, the Women's Championship. I was wondering what your thoughts were about the lack of push the title gets at pay-per-views and where you think they're going with it.
Well, I'd rather see an Intercontinental title match than a women's match.
I agree with that 100%. Where they're going with it is, well, we just saw an alliance formed Monday night between Gail Kim and Molly Holly, who Molly Holly is the champion, to keep Trish Stratus away from the championship. So that's probably going to lead into Unforgiven, where Trish will likely regain the championship as she should. So
that's
my answer to that. Mikey, this is for you and me specifically because it's from Red Money. I was in a conversation with a couple of friends. We were on the subject of NWA TNA, and we wondered, what would it be like if TNA, instead of OVW, was the WWE's developmental territory?
I think it would
terrible.
Suck.
That would be so bad.
Wouldn't happen.
What's that?
Wouldn't happen.
No, it wouldn't happen, but they're talking in theoreticals. That would be the worst thing that could happen for TNA, without question. And, yes, Mike and Jeff, you know I'm sexy. Red Money, Red Money, I haven't been to Canada, so I can't say for sure. The only sexy Canadian I'm aware of is Trish Stratus at this point, and Gail Kim. So.
And Pamela Anderson.
Oh, forgot about Pamela. How
and Amber Levine.
Moving on. From Fly Raven Fly.
Okay.
Yeah. Would you think Joel Gertner joining the Dudleys and going back to the heel of all heels be a good thing? No.
No. Dudleys are already dead in the WWE.
Exactly. Joel Gertner would just be the stake.
Nobody who didn't watch ECW knows who he is, and his limericks would get over for like a little bit, and then it'd get stale over time.
Yeah, exactly.
Agreed.
Punk-ass kid, we answered your question basically about what lower mid-card guys we'd like to see in TNA from WWE, so we're going to skip it. This is from Steve Porter. He's got a few different questions here, it looks like. Was the U.S. troop guy turning on the Dudleys a little over the top? I mean, it's all just to get La Resistance over a little. Yeah, that was the whole idea of that whole thing.
And it was to establish Rob Conway on Raw. They don't know how to bring people up from OVW to Raw or SmackDown.
No, they don't at all. I mean, take a look at, what's her name, Shanique? Well, actually, Shanique was getting somewhat over, I guess.
But look what they did to the Bashams. They were people who basically They were in a feud for, they were in a blood feud for a year, and they put them together.
Exactly, and they really carried the company for a whole year, and now they sent them up here, and they're tagging as a dominated team with the dominatrix who used to be Linda Miles. That's stupid.
I think
another example would be like John Cena, because when he was in OVW, he was like a heel and he was really over. So when he went to WWE, what did they do? They made him a face.
Well, yeah, but they learned quickly from that mistake, as we all
saw. When he was prototype, he was over mad as a heel.
Yeah,
and now, actually, now he's really over again, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, but he has.
Right, I know. It just took him a while because he didn't plan right the first time. All right, second question from Porter. What do you think will be the main event of Unforgiven? We know it's going to be Triple H and Goldberg, so that's a moot point, but
I think they're going to change it.
Yeah, I see HBK versus Randy Orton for the World Heavyweight Championship as a good money match.
No.
Well, actually, this is written before SummerSlam. As I have my money on Orton walking out of SummerSlam as champion. Okay, well, this guy knows what he's talking about.
What a dum-dum.
Anybody that picked Orton should have bet with me, because I need the money right now. Holy crap. Are the WWE planning a mass exit of big-name stars at Mania? I've heard names like Nash, Taker, Hogan, I know, but this time for good, Austin ending their runs at Mania. I don't understand that question very well, except for the fact that, you know, the guys are going to retire when they're going to retire. I haven't heard anything about, you know, they're all going to have one big retirement blowout at WrestleMania. I haven't heard one thing about that.
Yeah, right.
I think Austin will.
They'll pull a Ric Flair. They'll retire. They'll say it's their last run, and then when they find out they can make even more money coming back and being boring, they'll come back.
Yes. This is from a Vampiro Supermark. His name is Vampiro Rules.
Yeah, he's my man.
The reason Vampiro gave when leaving WCW was that he was going to work on his music career. Have you guys heard anything about that? Mike or Aaron, you have to answer that one because I don't know.
It wasn't just leaving for a music career, but he got a series of bad concussions that
right.
the doctor said he'd never be able to wrestle again.
Wow. Okay. Also, do you ever see him coming back to the U.S. and working for a company like TNA or the WWE?
No.
Or do you think he'll stick to working in Mexico? He'll work in Mexico.
I think he's going to stick to Mexico for a while.
Absolutely. He enjoys it down there very much. So, all right. Humanoid Freak, which would be Bobby Heenan's favorite fan form member, I would guess. Which main event wrestler do you think will be gone after WrestleMania 20? I say that The Rock, Stone Cold, Undertaker, Goldberg, and Kane. His gimmick is done and there's nothing else to do.
I can definitely see Goldberg not lasting past WrestleMania.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping
not
he loses.
Not necessarily.
I'm hoping he loses his career match. I know it won't happen, but a guy can dream, can he?
I think they're going to pull the old thing where, like, with Hogan and Flair, where Goldberg will beat Triple H, and then Triple H will retire, and then they'll pull a stipulation to bring Triple H back.
Well, actually, Triple H's career is on the line.
It's just the belt?
Yeah, it's Triple H's belt for Goldberg's career.
Is it no DQ, whatever?
No DQ. Actually, it's just no DQ.
Okay.
I assume it's no count out, because count out, for some reason, whenever they do no count out, they count it as no DQ, too. Or what, the other way around. So, it's weird. And Undertaker probably will not be gone by 20.
No.
And Kane won't be. They've tried too hard to get him back over. They won't. Stone Cold is already done. One more match.
I think I think he has a couple big matches left. Maybe next year's WrestleMania and SummerSlam, but not with who you'd expect him to have matches with.
Yeah, and The Rock will be around for a while once he comes, because unless he goes to make another movie, he'll be back for a while.
Yeah.
And Mike, apparently we were wrong about War Games belonging to WWE, because MLW is bringing it back for their upcoming show, according to Lincoln's foot vein. I got that wrong again, I'm sorry. Because they asked, should WWE bring back War Games? MLW's bringing it back for their upcoming show. Well, we answered that. Yes, they should. And MLW, good luck with it. If you have the two-ring double cage, go for it, man. That's a kick-ass gimmick, in my opinion. Mike, what do you think?
I agree.
Okay. All right. Mike, this is specifically for you, sir.
Yeah?
I heard on the 50... This is from Ravenator, actually. I heard in the 56th edition that Mike likes Jody Fleisch, and this brought me to my question. Who do you think is the best wrestler that the UK has produced?
Well, he's a good buddy of mine. He's in the NWA TNA's X8, like the Super 8. It's a Super X. My good buddy... I forgot his name. Oh, sure.
He's because he's such a good buddy.
Yeah, no, shut up. I'm just playing.
Right.
I think Paul London is really, or wait, not Paul London. Jody Fleisch is really over.
Yeah.
I like Jody Fleisch, and then, yeah, I forgot my other buddy's name. Shit. Oh, Johnny Storm is his name.
Oh, duh, yeah, the guy we met at XPW.
Yeah, he's going to be in the NWA TNA's Super X tournament.
Cool,
and I think he's a really good talent. We saw him face Jerry Lynn. We saw him face Devin Storm. I think he's a really good wrestler, and you better watch out for him.
All right, now, I apologize in advance for this question. I have to ask it just because it is that retarded. From Leib 3, do you think...
Leib Baxter.
Yeah, oh, is that who it is, Leib Baxter? Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. Do you think Steph takes roids?
No.
No.
Next.
You want to chime in?
Next.
What a dork.
What a dork. All right, this is from Forspickin 420. Who do you see being the next guy brought up from OVW, and which show do you think he or she should be on? I would have to... God, who's in OVW right now? There's so damn many people down there. Oh, hell.
I wouldn't know.
Nova.
Nova?
Yeah,
I think Nova being brought up. He could. You know what? I don't know why he hasn't been paired with the Hurricane. Why couldn't he be the shit? Instead of frickin' Rosie.
Oh, he looked like Triple H, I guess, too much, and Triple H in the office asked him to cut his hair.
Okay, so dye his hair black, and problem solved.
He cut his hair, so...
Okay, well, whatever. So, you know, fine. Well, what I'm saying is, why couldn't they bring him up as the superhero in training? He already had the gimmick going in the first place.
What was that?
I said he already had the superhero gimmick in the first place as a supernova.
No, he got serious at the end, and he's been serious ever since. He's teaming with Frankie Kazarian out here for a long time until he got picked up by WWE, and now he's just in limbo, so you don't know.
Okay, there you go. All right, let's see. Oh, okay, I thought this was a bad question, but it actually looks good. It's going to be a good answer. From Sky Airtime. Hey, guys, the new audio is great. My question is the WrestleMania clip thing, you know, the WrestleMania recall, I guess is what he's talking about, the WWE has been doing. Why is there no clips from 97? Because WrestleMania 13 sucked, except for the Bret Hart-Steve Austin match.
They need to show Bret Hart-Steve Austin, then you show Bret Hart attack Sid to get the Undertaker the belt. I don't know.
They'll start showing clips soon.
I hope so, because, I mean, 13 sucks, but, you know, there were a couple good points.
Let's just put it this way. They're promoting it so hard this early, they're putting it on their T-shirts, they're putting it on everything, because they know that if they can't sell out WrestleMania 20 in the Garden, they're done.
Absolutely.
Because the Garden isn't even, like, the Astrodome or anything. It doesn't hold 70,000 people. It holds 18,000. If they can't sell out because of their ridiculous asking prices to break even, then you know what? The hell with them. It's their own fault.
Yep. All right.
They're doing Zafir Bornstein mathematics here.
Yeah. That's it.
For those of you who don't know who he is, he's just some dork that Mike and I know.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
He's not a dork.
I hope he's not listening to this.
He probably is.
I hope not.
Can I please move on for the love
move
of...
Move on, goddammit!
Thank
move
you.
Move it on.
Another one from Fly Raven Fly.
Yeah.
Hey guys, love the show. What has been the most extreme thing you have seen in the ring? This can count violence, some huge shooter.
Yeah.
I think that was just
okay, it was... It was Supreme and Ian Rotten in a death match in XPW. I watched it backstage with Rob Black and Jerry Lynn, and the reactions from everybody, it was the scariest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life.
I agree. Tammy Sitch and Justice Payne and I almost threw up. It was pretty bad.
And Justice Payne worked for CZW.
What was that, Mike?
And Justice Payne worked for CZW, where it was common to have that type of stuff.
Exactly. The three of us were all standing there trying not to frickin' Ralph on Chris Claus.
And I was in a corner with Jerry Lynn and Rob Black watching, and we just couldn't believe it.
You guys were all, like, with your jaws on the damn floor. It was crazy. All right, and also, if Riff burps on the next show, can we beat him to a bloody pulp?
Yeah.
Sure we will. Why not? Mike's right there, so you've been warned, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Five Raven Fly says so. The fans
in the other room here at the XM studio.
That's right.
Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
Can we beat you up if you burp again on the show? There you go.
You'll get a meanie bomb, and you know what that means.
I would burp, but I don't have a 6-point Diet Pepsi right now.
Oh, brother. All right, this is going to be the last one from the mailbag before I make my huge announcement. Well, huge for me, because it's making me money. from R Squared with the Kurt Angle avatar, which I think is not a bad look.
Does R Squared mean Rice Rocket?
Could be. And we just alienated a whole group of people. All right. Two questions.
How do you alienate? That's what they call their cars.
Not what they call their cars.
Yes, it is. They're Rice Rockets.
That's what we call their cars, man.
Whatever. I have Asian friends.
Real quick, I just want to give props to all the guys on the Mayhem fan forums for making all those avatars and those banners that they're working on.
Oh yeah, for the show. Yeah, I noticed those. Absolutely.
Yeah, and they got some new style for the forums that Brad and some of the graphic designers are working on, so they're doing a really good job.
Okay, cool. All right. His main question is, do you guys like the look of the new U.S. Championship?
No.
I like
I like the old one.
Well,
this one looks
too,
this one looks too gimmicked.
It looks too gimmicked?
Well, it looks
phony.
Yeah, I don't like the colored title belts.
Yeah.
I like the old one that was gold and had the little U.S. belt at the top of it.
Agreed.
Because this one...
I like the new one, but I do like the old one much better.
The new one looks like a toy.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, very true. Also, if you guys could change one thing in the industry right now, what would it be? WCW not being sold.
Yeah.
WCW
and the
not being sold.
Never fire Vince Russo from WWE.
Well, no, he quit, brother.
Oh, that's right.
He walked, so yeah. Vince Russo quitting and WCW not being sold.
Hey, the ultimate jobber's wrestling on Velocity right now.
Who's that?
I don't know. Either Shannon Moore or the guy he's fighting.
It's probably the guy, because people actually know who Shannon Moore is.
Yeah, but he hasn't won a match since being in WWE.
Well, according to Crash, he will tonight. Or, excuse me, oh, I just fucked up. According to Mad Mikey, this is going to be his first win so on WWE, so keep an eye out.
That's okay, you can call him Crash. And his boy, Elroy.
That's right. Mad Mikey is going to be on.
He's going to be on within the next week or two, so we look forward to that.
We also interviewed Goldilocks again, and no, she wasn't as bad as she was last time. She's trying to not get heat with the office, so. But that's okay. We still love her to death. Who else was on today?
Let's not give away too many surprises there, Jeff.
Well, that's okay. All the names are in the fan forums for question list, so they already knew.
That's okay, Jeff.
Right,
we got to keep a few surprises under wraps.
Okay. That's the end for the mailbag. Let me make the announcement right now because, well, I'm broke. Here's the thing, guys. I know a lot of you are...
lonely, so Jeff wants to offer you favors in return for money. Get what I'm saying?
Nice.
Just kidding. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right. Now that we've gone to the complete depths of Mike's sick mind...
Hey, you said you needed money.
Yes, I do need money, but nobody in my family would need money that well, except maybe my uncle, but anyway.
Ew!
anyway.
You sick freak!
Yes, my uncle is a freak, but that's okay. We all love him to death.
The freaks come out at night. Hey.
Yeah. Load of wrestling memorabilia around the house here, and I don't need it. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to put it in the forums, because quite frankly, eBay trucks. Sell, and I don't feel like paying to sell it. If I'm going to sell it, I want to make money, not have to spend it to sell it. I've got an XPW DVD that hasn't been opened. I got Survivor Series 2001 on VHS.
Exactly.
You still have a VCR.
You cheapskate, you saved the one we got for free and you're going to sell it to someone? God, you are the California cheapskate.
Oh. Actually, if you must know, it's one I already had, that's why.
Yeah,
I bought that one, and Mike, you know it because I told you as much that night, you asshole.
We're getting confrontational here now. Yes.
We're just having a good time.
The Revolution Will Be Televised, which I had bought in November of last year, and we went to the show on March 1st of this year, and we got that same DVD as a package of free DVDs for having the ringside package or whatever it was called back then. I forget now.
Hey, James.
Yeah, and then Mike got one from Veronica Kane.
Hey, James Hetfield here is beating up Shannon Moore.
Really?
The lead singer of Metallica here is beating up Shannon Moore.
Metallica?
Yeah, that's what this guy looks like. He looks like a cross between Al Snow and whatever his name is from Metallica. I just said it. James Hetfield. Yeah, there we go.
Al Stone, you mean. Anyway.
What did you say?
I said Al Stone. You heard me.
Why'd you say Al Stone?
Because that's what Stevie Richards is calling Al Snow on Stevie Night Heat.
No, because Al Stone is my gimmick that I came up with like 5 years ago.
Oh, no, that was Al Steele.
No, it was Al Stone, Man of Cone.
Steel.
Okay, well, listen, the bottom line is Stevie is calling Al Snow Al Stone on Sunday Night Heat.
Well, I have a bone to pick with him, and I'm going to call him at home tomorrow.
That's okay. Yet another copyright infringement. First it was Christian with the damn it, and now it's this.
I actually created this character, Al Stone. I have it on tape from 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay, and by the way, I already knew that. I was just trying to mess with your head, but Stevie really is calling him Al Stone. Anyway, and I also have, for those of you that have younger brothers that like the WWE, I've got a shitload of figures I don't want anymore that are in very good condition. They're in near mint. The only reason they're not mint is because...
Wait, I got breaking news there, Jeff.
Oh,
God. Shannon Moore just won his match with the Blockbuster.
And I totally missed it because they're showing The Big Show and Undertaker and Kurt Angle on the screen, and I don't care.
All right, finish your announcement.
All right, so anyway, I've got a... They're in near mint condition. They're not mint only because they're out of the package. If they were in the package, they'd be mint, but that's not how it works. So anyway, I'm going to put that thread up on the forum as soon as we finish taping this. And if you guys are interested, let me know. I'll put up the price list and everything. You guys can offer me. And if you guys want to like outbid one another for it, that's cool too. Whatever you guys want to do. I need the money. I really want to buy the Winged Eagle replica belt. That's my master plan.
So maybe you guys might even want to donate something to Jeff.
No, so that can work that too. Belt. I'm not gonna ask for a straight up handout. I'll sell you guys something.
Because he has brought you so many countless hours of entertainment.
That's right. You count how many hours each show is.
Where you laugh at Jeff Meacham.
That's right. And yeah, that's right. I provide you free comedy every freaking day, because Riff, this cheap bastard, doesn't pay my ass. Okay, so.
Hey, Aaron, put his pictures back up from XPW. They'll feel sympathy for him, and they'll start donating money.
Well, I'm just saying that hopefully we'll all be a little bit more greener soon, if you know what I mean, because we got babesandcelebs.com opening
.com!
Up September 18th.
If you get what we're saying.
And I'm guessing that's your and Mike's joint venture there, huh?
Pornography at its greatest. But you must be over 18.
This is going to be a classy website.
You must be an adult to enter the website. None of these kids can get in. We're going to have stuff that will keep all the kids out.
I mean, no Brad Fisher, no Noah Donish.
No 14-year-old posters from the Babes and Celebs forums are coming in. You have to be 18, and we're checking.
That's okay. Noah Donish is going to be 18 soon, from what I understand.
And if you're not 18... We're turning you all in.
Yeah, because we'll have your IP addresses.
It's golden. So, basically, the point is, I have no money. I want this damn belt. So, if you want to donate money, that's fine. If you want to pay me for the figures and the video and the DVD. And also, I'm selling a replica toy WCW World title belt that I paid, I forget how much for. I'll put the price up. But it's in the exact same condition I got it in, and it comes with two nameplates. So you're getting a good deal.
Hey, Jeff, what does your employer think about this? Did you ask for an advancement in pay?
What does my employer think about this?
Yes.
Well, I have a job interview in a couple weeks, so I'll tell you where my employment situation
interview,
is.
Interview,
right?
I see.
Yes.
So
that's
basically...
Okay.
Are you sure you're not from down south, Jeff? Mooching off us Americans?
If I get this job, I'll be making $10 to $12 an hour. I won't have to give a shit about this stuff anymore, as far as having to sell things to make money.
But, guys, you should support Jeff anyway because he is the most entertaining guy in radio wrestling history.
Besides
one
me.
Half of the one half of the most entertaining team.
Right. And,
let's see,
you know what? You know it.
Yes. Is that your new phrase now? You know it?
You know it.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. We're going to take a break right now that I've done my shameless shilling, and we'll come back with our first live interview in
over a month.
This
is going to be great. Don't go away.
Okay. Thank you for interrupting my promo riff, you freaking idiot.
I'm just so pumped up. Everybody knows I love Sid.
I know you do. Well, keep in mind, the last time we did an interview was July 4th. This is our first interview in over a month that we've taped specifically for the purpose of this show. When we come back, Sid Vicious.
Hey, this is Jerry Lynn from NWA, TNA, ECW, WCW, WWF, all of them. I've been everywhere. And you're listening to Mike and Jeff on Extreme Mayhem.
No guns, no knives, just chairs. But on second thought, themayhem.com has everything.
wrestling columns, world media, and of course, the Babes and Celeb. TheMayhem.com. Wrestling's home. Attention webmasters, join the Mayhem.com's top site list and increase traffic to your website. Visit topsites.themayhem.com today and give your website the promotion it deserves.
Got something on your mind? Visit the all-new Extreme Mayhem forums at extreme.themayhem.com/forum. Submit feedback on the show, discuss the latest in wrestling, or just talk shit with hosts Mike Nagel and Jeff Meacham. The Extreme Mayhem forums, the only forums that are even worth a damn.
Welcome back, everyone, to Extreme Mayhem. Mike and Jeff here, as always, and we have a very special guest with us. He is a former World Heavyweight Champion in both WWF at the time, and as well as WCW. We got Big Sid on the line. How are you doing today?
How's it going, guys?
It's going pretty good.
How are things over in Arkansas?
Yeah, it's a little wet today, but looks like it's going to be a little sunshine tomorrow, so it's going to be great.
That's good. That'd be good. That'd be good for all the golfers in Arkansas, at least.
That's right.
Sunny days ahead. Well, Sid, we've had so many requests to have you on since we debuted back in October of last year. When is Sid Vicious going to be on? You know, we haven't heard much from him since that fateful day back at Sin of 2001. And what's going on with Psycho Sid as you were in WWE? So, let me just ask you right off the bat. Immediately after in 2001, what was going on with you then?
Well, after I broke my leg?
Yeah, basically.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's been literally almost three years now of solid rehab, and you won't realize it, sometimes 2.5-3 hours a day of it, you know, and that's along
right.
with my normal, you know, working out and, you know, other things too. That's been, it's probably been the toughest test in my life so far right now. You know, but, it'll be, you know, a week or two or sometimes a month, and I won't see any, you know, really positive, light right then. And all of a sudden I'll see something that'll pick me up and maybe say, okay, well, I'm doing this a little bit better. You know, and as far as, like, you know, regaining my posture with my, you know, like if I'm walking or something, like, well, if I'm walking around a hall and I meet somebody, if I'm on my left leg, it's sort of hard to stop real quick, you know, still.
Right, so, yeah.
Working on that, you know, I've done some things I haven't done since I broke my leg, like squatting a little bit now and doing some things like that, which is a positive step forward, you know, so.
Absolutely.
Just doing that, man, and trying to find out, listen to this crazy business, what's been going on.
Yeah.
That's pretty tough right there.
You know, I mean, squats is a big deal. I mean, you know, that's really all leg strength right there.
Yeah.
So that's cool for you. That's good you're getting the leg strength back.
Yeah, when I did my first squat, man, I was, a lot of people around, you know, I don't talk to a lot of people. A lot of people at the gym know what I'm going through and knew I had an accident, but they don't know what the accident really is and how bad it was or, you know, because I don't talk about it, but. Well, I just started squatting lately, and a few people have noticed it. Man, it's the first time you squatted in a long time, and, you know, it's not, like, real heavy right now, 135, but I have gone as high as 350.
Yeah, well, see, you know, I mean, compared to, you know, yeah. zero back in
exactly.
early 2001.
I'm so happy to be doing that, you know. Of course, you know, I used to squat well over 500, and when you come and you see a guy squatting 350 is easy, I'm doing, you think, hey, this guy's, you know, 100%, but you know, that's the deal is, if someone sees you, looks at me and go, man, you look better than you ever looked. You're getting ready to go back on the road. Instead of going through the whole, you know, 9 yards with them, will the doctor say, you know, I'm not going to be able to, blah, blah, blah. It's just like I always just tell them I don't know.
Right. Well, you know, that's the best way to go because, you know, when you tell a story so many times where it gets to the point where you want to, you know, shoot yourself as you're saying it, it's like, okay, that's enough.
You're not kidding, man. That's the best way I ever heard it. You know, I hate saying it like that because I don't want to be rude to anyone, and you know, because everybody's been so supportive. But, you know, when you hear that all the time, man, you're looking good. You're ready to jump right back in there. And God knows, man, that I would do anything just to be able to do that, jump right back in there. But that's just not happening right now.
No.
Never want to say never, but, you know, it's going to be tough.
Well, you know, most of us saw what happened many times, especially on Nitro the next night, because they couldn't help showing it.
Oh, right at the top of the hour they showed it.
Yeah, I know, and that was an 8 o'clock hour when they're supposed to be the fan friendly hour, right?
Exactly right.
And they're showing their Grizzly stuff. It's like, ooh, you know, he's not coming back. But at the same time, you know, we've seen guys come back from some pretty outstanding circumstances. So you're right. You really can never say never.
No, you never say never. But you know, it's like you say, they showed it, and then they had to do little things afterwards, like they were breaking everybody else's leg, and it got to the point where, you know, really made it hard for me to even turn on and watch something that, you know, I've done my whole life.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, and it's hard for me to watch wrestling today, you know, keeping up with it because, man, you watch it, man, it's just, first thing you know, you see yourself right there. And you're talking about going from the biggest high to the lowest low and within just 2 seconds, that's dramatic.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of people remember toward the end of WCW, you were there for a few months and then you left, and then you came back and you left, and you know, you were there, you know, 2 months before the demise. What was it like sitting at home knowing, you know, I mean, you were there when the writing was on the wall, so to speak, but what was it like sitting at home on March 26th of that year, seeing Vince McMahon on Nitro and realizing WCW is done, that's it?
Well, you know, I was sort of, you're talking about feeling like, you know, a guy that was at an ass-kicking contest with one leg.
Yeah.
Know, I'm sitting at home and can't even go in there and, you know, represent myself and say, hey, I might be worthy of a place, you know, here one day or something like that. That was sort of hurting right there. That was like a double kick to the head, you know, for me. And it had to be a kick to the head to everybody in the business, even if you weren't in WCW, because I guarantee you there was a lot of kicks in the head to a lot of people after that day. You know, there were a lot of people that got released. You know, of course, you've probably heard this 1,000 times from 1,000 different people. You know, what your worth was really went down because, you know, the guy next to you could be you know, take your place.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you know that the business can't withstand that many people in it at one time, so there was just had to be a shitload of people that had to be let go.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, having one leg, you know, no one was going to pick up the phone and call you. So that was a little, you know, thinking, man, maybe I, you know, but you can understand that. But I really felt, you know, I didn't feel, it was just like everybody else, you know, and I know I've heard this 1,000 times too, is that could have been probably led that, you know, out for a little bit better. You know, it would have probably turned out better for everybody, including Vince.
Right.
They would have played that out just a little bit better than coming out and making a speech to really throw it to Ted Turner like that, you know.
Yep.
It was just, you know, I don't know.
Well, but, see, Vince himself even said he loved being able to go out there as the Mr. McMahon character and just shove it down Turner's throat.
Oh, did he?
He loved it. He loved every minute of it.
Well.
And that's what sucks.
Well, the thing is, the business was already, and I know it was already in both territories, not just WCW, the business was already on a downhill, you know, spiral again.
And right.
You know, little things like that just helped the business to get worse than it is, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes that's the thing about Vince is, and a lot of people, But, you know, when you own the territory, you think that you would have to put the personal things aside and just say, this is business and this is what I need to do to make this thing better. You know, he does that a lot. You know, what they were saying, cut off your nose to spite his face, he probably, you know, has cut off 100 noses already.
Yeah.
You know, but just, it's just, you know, and I've talked to Vince and, you know, I said I wouldn't do anything, you know, to, if it wasn't a good business decision, you know. And that, you know, that wasn't a good business decision, you know.
No, absolutely not.
It was already said and done. Everybody already knows he'd beat WCW in a way. You know, it's not really he beat WCW and Ted Turner folded. It was a decision made, you know, of a group of folks, you know, bigger than Vince, AOL, Time Warner, and stuff like that. You know, they're the ones who want to get rid of wrestling.
Exactly. Turner was already on his way out before that even happened.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, Turner was the principal owner, yeah, but, you know, there were so many guys above him telling him this and that, it was just like, okay, whatever. You know, I mean, I heard Turner even sold off most of the AOL Time Warner stuff. He's strictly doing TBS again.
Right.
Or TBS and TNT. You know, it's just, for Vince to say something like that, I was kind of like, okay, you beat the man, now you're trying to kick him while he's down, and you want him to be at WrestleMania. I mean, yeah, that was storyline, him being at WrestleMania to sign the contract, and that was really petty. And, you know, we've had many people on from WCW, including Mike Tenay. That could have been handled so much better. The whole storyline was mishandled from day one that, you know, the WCW name now is ruined for good.
Well, that has been done. You know, that's what's so weird about it. If I was, say, for instance, in a position like Vince, and, you know, he's been kicked in the head a whole lot, too. And about a lot of blows, like, you know, the football thing was a kick in the head. The business going down was a kick in the head.
The bodybuilding federation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know the whole truth to that thing, only hearsay. But here he could have, for just a few pennies, you know, what it really amounted to, what it cost him, to keep that name that was, you know, and you know, just branded into everyone's brain. WWF, you know, then when you got that taken away from you, you know, it's almost simple. You can ask a lot of people, and you ask a normal, you know, just a guy off the street, that's one of the main reasons they don't watch it anymore. You know, that right there really killed them, too.
Yep, exactly.
You know, just, and then it's like, you know, it's one of those things that, and Vince has not bounced back a lot, so, and he'll probably do it again, but the thing is, it's one of those things when, you know, great coaches, and as great coaches are guys who, you know, can come back from a second half when they're down 40 points in a basketball game, or, you know, two, three touchdowns down in the fourth quarter. Those guys, when they come back and win, that's what makes them great. Now, if Vince comes back from this, it will, you know, probably certainly set him permanently at all time in entertainment, you know, if he makes it back. But if not, he'll be one of the biggest blunders of all time.
Yep. Well, you know, after WWF really took over WCW as far as overtook them in the ratings, it really started to decline as far as the business in general, and it just kept going and going from there. And when he lost the WWF acronym, that was the final blow, and they haven't recovered since, in my opinion.
You know, I would wonder how much it really cost them dollar-wise, you know, to have lost that thing, you know, to have to change everything they had to change, you know, I wonder what they did for, like, all the T-shirts and toys that already had the name on it. Did they have to take that off the shelves? Did they change it? You know, the changes, you know, the television show alone had to be, you know, thousands of dollars.
Yeah, well, I don't know, because I was at a Save-On recently picking up a prescription, and I saw two WWE action figures that were labeled with the WWF, you know, the Scratch logo, the old WWF logo. So I don't know if that was just because Save-On doesn't know better, or if it's just that they, you know...
They probably had those toys on their shelves for a couple years now.
What's that, Mike?
They probably had those toys on their shelves for a couple years. They just aren't selling anymore.
Oh. Well, you know, no, because the ones I saw were not on the shelf for very long, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
So I don't know if they just got them, like, from the second hand either, or whatever it is, but
there are still WWF action figures out there. So whatever they had to show out to change the name, they didn't really care enough to do everything, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, if they left the name on there, it means there's a lot of them that they haven't got rid of.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so they're trying to get them sold off while they still can. But then again, you know, they just put out replica belts from the mid-'80s when Hogan was champion and had those three different belts, including the Winged Eagle, the one you held, and the one before that when he held only himself, and the one before that that he held only himself.
Uh-huh.
Well, the first one didn't have the WWF logo, you know, the block logo. It had the initials WWF written on there, like, by themselves.
Right.
And the Panda guy said, uh-uh, you can't do that. That's our initials.
Wow.
And they're even trying to block the ones with the logo on it, which really pisses me off because I want that damn belt.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, I'm a little miffed about that. But, you know, it's gotten so petty where even something with the initials WWF on it, whether it's that logo or not, they can't do it now. And they're even trying to block out the block logo like on the belt you wore as champion.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten real petty real quick.
Well, that's what I'm saying for just... You know, for just pennies, what it would cost Vince to just, from what I understand, you know, the guy, the rumor was the guy wanted, or the company wanted $500,000, and they would give Vince the name, you know, and go on about their business and change theirs to a different one. And Vince said, no, I'm not going to give you anything. And that was what I heard, you know.
Well, you know what? That could very well be too, because we've all heard of Vince McMahon's legendary stubbornness. So, who knows for sure.
But, you know, that's the thing. You talk to a lot of people in there, and they say, you know, when things are bad, you know, Vince becomes real media friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden when things are good, it's nobody's allowed in the locker room. You know, it seems like those little sort of things you would have learned from before and say, okay, I just need to stay into this margin of being friendly and not, you know, and keep these guys where they talk good about me when I come to town. I'll give you, for instance, they were in town last night in Memphis. I knew they were coming to town because a buddy of mine works for him, and I talk to him frequently, and he told me about, you know, 6 weeks ago. I have not heard one commercial or one advertisement for them for that show at all. Friend of mine went to the show last night. You know, the Pyramid hosts, I don't know, 14,000-15,000 people.
Yeah.
And they said it was about 1,700 people there.
Wow.
Jeff, that was like when you and I went to the Pond for that show that they really didn't advertise too well, and they only drew about...
The one in January?
Yeah, they only drew about 1,800 people.
Yeah, to the Pond, which holds...
At the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim.
20,000 people.
You mean they had 1,800 people at the Pond?
Yep.
Yeah. Can you believe that? That's incredible to me. I mean, like, the whole upper deck was practically barren.
It was empty.
It was ridiculous. It's gotten really bad.
And I've gone to house shows before where you couldn't even buy nosebleed seats.
No,
and then,
no. But that was in the heyday back when, you know, in the mid-'90s.
Well, I remember, you know, one night I was working with Brett. We was in Detroit at one of the arenas downtown. And next to us was the Red Wings playing for, you know, the hockey, for the Stanley Cup.
Right.
We still sold out.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, it's just bad right now. And it's not one particular thing, you know. It's just a lot of things. And it just, you know, when I do watch the show sometimes, it just looks like to me no one's really taking care of the things that I would have thought, you know, Vince McMahon would not wanted to be on the show or wouldn't allow to just be projected or something like that. You know, the projections of things aren't being watched carefully.
Absolutely. Well, in contrast to that, have you had the opportunity to view NWA TNA?
You know, I haven't. I talk to a buddy of mine that works there at Ron Harris all the time. I've not seen any of the shows.
Okay.
And you know, I've only seen one commercial, and I'm only, you know, just right down the road from them. And I've only seen one commercial, and it was, I think it might have been at the gym, and I mean, it was just for a second, but I heard they were all okay, I don't know.
They're really good.
Yeah, You know, if they had a weekly deal like WWE, I'd be more interested in them right now because I've only seen two of their pay-per-views so far.
Uh-huh.
I've been thoroughly impressed. Thoroughly impressed. And, you know, I've seen matches on the Internet, which, you know, they're not supposed to be on there. But they're on there, and we all know they're on there.
Uh-huh.
So I've seen those, and they, all, you know, every match I've seen has just been, you know, the caliber of the WWF back in, you know, back
yeah.
in the heyday in the mid-90s when it was like, you know, every match seemed to be a good match. That's what they're doing now, and it's just it's great to me because if they keep going the way they're going, they're going to give Vince a run for his money and make him shit his pants. It's going to be great, you know.
Well, I thought about this the other day. I didn't think about it for a long time. Terry Funk said, "Man, I guess it was 9 years ago, probably." He said one day he told a lot of people this. He said that it's going to be worth just all pay per view, and it's really close to that right now.
Yep, yeah,
definitely.
It's all pay-per-view right now.
Well, that's all pay-per-view, and the only thing really, you know, financially good right now for WWE is the pay-per-view.
Yep.
You know, if they're only doing, you know, 12, 1,700, 2,000 people in these big arenas, you know, they're not breaking even.
No, not by any means.
You know, so, I don't know. I'd love to see it come back, man. I like to see it, you know, I like to get back to where it used to be a little bit, too. Not so much middle-of-the-road crap. I like to see some storylines that, you know, not the old-fashioned, but some, you know, the good guy versus bad guy a little bit. You know, you don't want to see, you know, two good guys or two baby faces always working, you know, or two heels always working. You know, it's okay, and they make for some good matches, but it does make for good follow-up entertainment where, that you know, I'm going to follow that show. You know what I mean? If I see two
yep.
guys I really care about, man, it would be cool to see those two guys get it on. But, you know, it's almost like, trying to think, it's almost like it's so repetitious now that, you know, every match is the biggest match of all time now, you know?
Yeah.
And every night, if you see SmackDown or if you see Raw, it's, you know, this is the big spectacular, you know, it's going to be you again, Big Show, against so-and-so, and that match has been a million times.
Exactly. It was like in WCW and Shivani, you know, every Nitro mm-hmm. was the greatest Nitro in the history of Nitro.
Exactly.
It's like, no. The greatest Nitro in the history of Nitro was this one or this one. It wasn't the same one 4 weeks in a row.
Right. But it's just, you know, that's what happens there is, that's a good sign, too, that there's not no one following up, you know, saying, don't say that, man. Let's say this week. You know, or taking charge, or seeing the problems. You know, and that's the only thing I can imagine right now is that they're so caught up in trying to catch back up or get back on, you know, on an even playing field that they're
yep.
not having time to catch all those small things that are, and then the small things, you know, snowball into a big thing. And then you're trying to fix that, and you got five other big things you're trying to fix too.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's
exactly.
a hard deal, man, and, you know, it's hard for one person, it's hard for a group of guys, and, you know, when you're having to do this for, you know, two shows a week and then one pay-per-view a month, you know, it just gets worse, mind-boggling, and you do get repetitious, you know, it's like, well, okay, and the thing is, you know, this guy does have to be the biggest, meanest guy every time, and you do got to say little things like that, you know, or, you know, put them over to the best, or think of something different, you know. So I don't know, man. I
Absolutely.
Hope to see it kick back up, you know, especially if I do make it back. But it wouldn't be fun to be in there like it is right now.
Yeah. Mike?
Yes. I finally get one in. Yay.
I'm sorry, brother. I just talking. I'm sorry, man.
I'm just having a good time listening.
That's cool. I've been talking to you over the last couple of days, and, you know, I just hearing some of these stories, it's like, you know what, this is cool because we usually don't get a very inside perspective on the WWE unless we have a former WWE superstar or things like that with the NWA and WCW. So
and we have a former WWE champion right here.
Exactly. Yeah, we have one of only, let's see, 10, I think it is, 10 guys in the history of the business to hold both world championships, and that's cool for me. So,
well, you know, yeah. Believe it or not, man, that's, you know, to me, the greatest thing for me to stand out, you know, to have won the championship at the Gardens. You know,
oh, yeah.
That right there is my greatest deal, you know, to be at the Gardens, but then have won the championship at the Gardens was, you know, for sure the greatest highlight of my whole life. And that it taught me some things, too, is that, you know, what people don't do is there's a need to give back to the business, you know. When you do get all these great things like become champion and, you know, you have your run, it's so important to give back to the business, you know, try to do something, you know.
Yep, absolutely. So what did you think about that whole match with Shawn Michaels, just the fact that you had to hit a 62-year-old man with a camera, then hit Shawn with a camera?
That was cool.
Beat him.
That was really cool.
I did have a little problem with that. I did tell Vince that night I thought it sucked.
Well, there you go.
I did. I said,
I don't blame you.
That was my words. I said, it sucked. And he said, what do you mean? They all looked at me real, like they were shocked. You know, I said, what sucks? I said, we know I'm going to put this guy over at the Alamo Dome with his finish, you know. I mean, I'm agreeing to right now before they even asked me to. I said, so to make this thing really great and really get this guy over, you know, Shawn, and get us both over, I beat him with my strength, and then he beats my strength with his strength.
Yeah.
At the Alamo Dome. And I think that, you know, and what it was is, you know, one of those deals, you just sort of get your feelings hurt a little bit. You know, I was told I was going to be a straight-up baby face. And I don't know if you know it or not, but I was getting over pretty good as a baby face. And then, you know, they come to me with this deal. They wanted me to walk the middle of the road. And I'm telling you, man, that is frustrating as hell.
Exactly.
You know, one night, you know, having to work as a baby face, the next night as a heel. And you really, you never won, you know. And it's just, it's so hard to get a match down with, you know, somebody, you know, especially when they, even as a heel, I got cheered a lot.
Yeah, you did that night. You got a lot of cheers.
But
Shawn Michaels,
that makes it harder too. Now here it is. I'm working as a heel tonight. If I go into this match, I think, okay, well, I'm working with Brett tonight up here, especially in, you know, towards Canada. I think, okay, he's going to be a babyface, and hell, we get out there in the middle of the match. They turn towards me as a babyface, and it's like, oh shit, which is cool.
Yeah.
But you know, I really believe, you know, if they let me be just a straight up babyface, and then have me just a really strong run as a straight appeal, they would have, you know, the company would have benefited as far as money-wise. I think I would have drawn money longer like that.
Well, wouldn't you agree, though, that, you know, at that time, the attitude thing was sort of switching as far as, you know, there was no baby face or heel. It was just,
well, that's,
I hate you,
well,
you know.
That's when it started, right then, pretty
yep.
much. And thing about it is, that's okay to have that change in there, but what happens is, I'll give you a parallel or an example to what happens is, like, for instance, when Jim Cornette, when he has territory, he came in and they worked a feud with the Memphis territory. And the way I know about this is because I was still working the territory, so even though I was working for Vince, I'd work in Memphis, where, you know, on my days off, working with Lawler because it was close to home and it was a lot of fun. And I'd just been working in there for about 8 months straight anyway, so I knew what was going on. Well, you know, what happens is, and this is what happened with pretty much the NWO thing. You know, they came in looking like an existing territory taking over another territory. That's real exciting.
Yeah.
And so when, you know, same thing with Jim Cornette and them, when they did that with Memphis, it's real exciting. But this is what people don't realize, but some people do realize it, is that when that happens, or if, like, if I'm a middle, and the same thing if I'm a middle of road type of guy, every time I work with somebody, either or, baby face or heel, it does chip away at your credibility as far as your drawing credibility for a little bit.
Right.
And the thing is, is like every time you get changed back from a baby face to a heel, baby face to heel, you always diminish a little bit of your drawing ability. I don't care what they say. It might not be a lot, but it'll be a little bit. And if you do it a bunch of times, you'll finally get where people just don't know, you know.
Exactly.
But like with Jim Cornette and them, they came in here. When that happens, when that stuff happens, when like an NWO, same thing, went into WCW, it turned everybody in WCW babyface.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wouldn't see those guys get run out. Well, when the same thing with Cornette and them, they did it. Well, when Cornette and them were finished with that feud, it wasn't but a few months after that, almost both territories were shut down.
That's right.
Because they didn't have the money to keep going. Well, you know, Turner and them and Vince and them sort of did have the money to keep going, you know.
Right.
So when that run was over, same thing happens. Everybody's been turned babyface, and nobody's taken the time to get any heels ready, so you don't have anybody to draw money with.
Yep.
And that's what happens when you do angles like that with people. You know, you get caught up in the moment where everything's so cool, just like that deal when they did the deal where, you know, I turned middle-of-the-road type of guy, Steve Austin did it, everybody was doing it, Rock did it, and then all of a sudden, and after that, you know, you're running into places where you got 1,700 people in a building, those, you know, 20,000
yep.
people. You can't do that.
No.
And you've got to get it back the other way, and if you don't get it back the other way a little bit, I guarantee you're not going to get out of this hole.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you and I talked about this in the past off-air as far as the whole way WWE handled Bret Hart, how many times he turned back and forth.
Exactly.
That's what killed his career.
Exactly.
Well, and Goldberg kicking him in the head.
Well, that and Goldberg getting the concussion, that probably a little bit to do with it. But
just having a massive Goldberg in your career.
Yes, that's true, as you found out.
No, I'm just kidding. But no. That's what happened to Bret. He was up and down so many times, you know, and then, you know, it's hard, too, and I said this the other night on an interview. There's, you know, for someone like Bret, and I'm not trying to be cocky or anything, but for a guy Bret size to get up to a statue where, like Hogan and, you know, myself, he really worked hard to get up there. And
yep.
it's real easy to take, you know, and we've heard this before. You work with someone, you know, and I've heard this said 1,000 times, and I'm not saying it, but it is a little bit true. Like Kurt Angle is a good example. When he works with somebody on top, he really looks good. But he can work with somebody down and bring them up a little bit.
Yep.
But some people can't do that. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But that's what's happened to Kurt, too. He's done that so many times, and that's why his, you know, he don't have any jaw on the belly.
No.
And
he's a champ.
Right. You take a guy that's medium stature like that and do him like that enough, it is almost impossible to ever get him back in a situation where they're drawn again.
I agree. 100%.
So, and thing about it is, it's nothing other than the simple logic of rules have been written for situations like this and any other thing that simulates or looks familiar to wrestling, anything like that. You know, all these shows you see on TV are cool and stuff, you know, that had this great storyline. You know, after those guys got walking the middle road once or twice, or that storyline person did, you know, it's like if you took Superman out of the Superman movie, it's not going to be Superman movie anymore.
No, it's just going to be a bunch of people running around dying and getting hurt.
Exactly.
That's all it is.
Honestly, I am sick to death of these quick turns.
Exactly.
It is so horrible the way they set these up, too. And, I mean, your example with Kurt Angle was perfect. I mean, if you look before the Royal Rumble, they had him as a babyface talking
right.
about how I'm going to give Brock Lesnar, you know, a match. And then he wins the belt, and then he aligns with Paul Heyman, and he's a heel again.
Right.
Just like that.
You know what? I haven't seen Paul on TV in months. Is he still on TV?
No. I think he's actually gone from the company now.
Oh, really?
No. He's still writing for them, because I talked to a couple guys at PWI. He's still writing for them, and he's still doing consultant stuff, but he's chosen not to be on TV just because there's really no role for him anymore.
Well, the reason why is a lot of people, you know, all of a sudden have chosen not to take on the ported roles. You know, they've taken on lesser roles now, and I'm not...
Yeah.
You know what I'm... Is that enough said?
Yeah, enough said. I got you. That's,
you know what I'm
yeah.
saying? A lot of people are taking on lesser roles now because then you can't put the blame on them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And the thing is there's no sense in running at this time because it's like it is until it gets fixed. And, you know, if you're going to get the blame for anything, get the blame for trying to get that thing rolling again.
Yeah. Well, he was Brock's agent for a while, and then they had the angle where Lesnar had to go through everybody to get to Kurt at WrestleMania. And he beat Team Angle, and then Brock... beat up Paul, and then Paul disappeared from TV.
Yeah, actually, what happened, what I remember reading was that he took too many F5s, and, like, he got injured, and he hasn't been able to get a medical release back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, because, I mean, Lesnar,
you know, the storyline, you know,
Lesnar womped him.
Beat up his evil former agent, and he really did. He beat the crap out of Paulie. So
I don't think not Lesnar, but Paulie, even through his years in ECW, was ready for the womping that Lesnar gave him.
No, not at all.
But that's what happens too, you know. These guys that are managers, all of a sudden they get in, want to get in that, involved in that real important role, then they have to take those bumps, and then it's like, whoa, and it's time to take an exit, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, Paul's taken a few bumps in his day when he was managing WCW.
Yeah.
But they
all taken some good bumps, but they, I know Bruno, for example, Harvey Whippleman, you know, for a little guy, he could do anything in the world, but man, he would throw up before he went out there knowing he had to do it.
That sounds like Bruno. Yeah, absolutely.
That is Bruno, yeah.
Absolutely.
No, but, you know, that's the thing is, but it's going to take things like that, getting them out of the way and getting, you know, people who want to play on the team and sacrifice, because this is the time you're going to have to, you know, to get things going, you know, and that means get out there and put your elbows and get ready to get hard, you know, work hard. And not, you know, complain for a while, you know.
Right,
you know, right. Everybody was doing a lot of catching a lot. Everybody wanted to catch all the credit, you know, a couple of years ago while everything was so good.
Yep,
you know?
Right.
Like I heard an interview one time. I thought it was really ridiculous a little bit. It was Edge, and I've told it before, is that it was on that series on MTV, whatever they called it.
Tough enough.
He came on there and said, "Yeah, you know, I can tell all you guys are really shocked about me because I'm a big star and y'all really think I'm something," which, you know, I didn't know everybody really thought that about him. But, you know.
Well, he's okay, but he's nothing.
He gets on and goes, he said, "I want you guys to know something. You know, I used to be a really big fan of Hulk Hogan. I had a poster in my room and everything like that." He said, "But once I got to the WWE, I realized you didn't have to be a Hulk Hogan to be, you know, top dog here. You know, you got here on your work rate. You know, where that phrase came up, work rate, I want to know and I want that person shot and killed." Because, you know, everybody works hard out there. We might not, you know, dive off a 20-foot ladder onto a table, but the deal is who got those people interested to come in there and pay their hard dollars to pay for a ticket to put their ass in the seat out there? You know, if Edge is doing that right now, then I'll be the first to go up there and shake his hand and tell him good job. But nobody's doing that. Nobody's buying tickets.
Well,
if your work rate isn't going to decline, if you go out there and say, "Oh, tonight I'm going to jump off this ladder and only 2,000 people show up," then tell me what work rate is, and then I'll tell you what drawing money is and what it's not.
Well, see, here's the thing. People can talk about Hogan's in-ring skill till they're blue in the face. But here's the thing. In 1982, nobody was paying out the big bucks except those guys smoking the cigars and everything and drinking the beer to see Bob Backlund on the Iron Sheik.
Right.
All of a sudden, 84 comes around, whoa, Hogan's there, and he's kid-friendly.
Exactly.
You can bring your family to wrestling.
He was really media-friendly.
And holy crap.
Right.
Hogan doesn't have the biggest repertoire in the history of the business. Okay, but you know what? He's got charisma from here to freaking eternity.
Well, what it is, he's got credibility, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is what little I've seen about Hogan on TV, I think he's been misused. You know?
Totally.
You know?
Absolutely. This whole thing with Mr. America was the biggest load of crap I've ever seen in the history of WWE. It was so retarded. There's no way you should put Hulk Hogan under a hood. That's so ridiculous.
Well, in a way it could be, but if it was done right, I didn't see it, and I'm not going to judge it, but if it was done right, and I think Hogan would agree with me on this, if it was done right, it could have been done right, and it would have looked good, because I don't care if you put a complete bodysuit on that guy, you're going to know who it is just by the way he walks. You know
right.
What I mean? Everybody's going to know Hogan. His electricity comes through that suit, you know?
Yeah.
So you're going to see him anyway, so it's like, it could have been done right. I didn't see how it was done, how it was finished up, or if it has been finished up.
Well, here's exactly what they did. They had him beat Vince at WrestleMania. Vince didn't like that, obviously. So he sent Hogan home in the storyline and was going to pay him off the rest of his contract.
It was like the old yellow dog type gimmick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like where they fired him and he came back under the mask.
Right.
And then he came back, and Stephanie signed him for SmackDown, quote, sight unseen. Everybody knew it was Hogan. And in my opinion, they really dragged it out for a while. And then I guess they had creative differences or whatever it was, Hogan himself with Vince and the company. So Hogan had taken a few different times after the camera stopped rolling to take the hood off and say, it's me, but shh, don't tell anybody.
Okay.
Well, Vince took one of those that happened at the Garden and said, I have proof. It's really Mr. America, and Hogan's really Mr. America, and since I've proved it, he's fired. So that's how that went down.
Oh, good Lord.
That's exactly what I said when I read the spoilers. I went, yeah, you knew that was going to happen.
That's okay. Hogan's been talking to Suge Knight. Something's going to happen.
Exactly.
He's a what?
Hogan's been talking with rapper Suge Knight.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're probably not having Vince get a drive-by or something, knowing Hogan.
Exactly.
Like Tupac.
Crazy. But that's okay. Let's get back to the questions for Sid. This is about Sid. This is his deal.
Sid, I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
The owner, webmaster, CEO, whatever, the Mayhem.com, Aaron Rift, his dad worked for the UWF. And we actually saw, I forgot what the name of the pay-per-view was, Blackjack Brawl, I think, from Vegas. What did you think of working for Herb Abrams and the UWF?
That was a riot. You know, the thing is, man, I've never done many indie shots because it's so Harry Carey, it's like, I don't know most of the people, you know, and you don't get to know them until you get there. Then, you know, I had Mike O'Brien, I worked some for him and always did his shows because I trusted him, you know, and he always treated me right and everything. So, on that show, you know, I see, Danny Spivey called me and said, Sid, it's okay to do the show, I'm going to be on it. And, you know, I thought it was, you know, he got, Steve Williams on Jay Leno, you know, because it was just what happened there at Las Vegas that week.
Yep.
And I thought it was a pretty cool, you know, independent deal. You know, they tried, you know, but now Herb, man, I'll tell you a story. Went on that night, but I can't.
That's okay.
It's too crazy. But Herb, you know, is a weird dude. Weird dude, man.
Yeah.
But he was a nice guy. He really was. He really was. He really, you know, as far as I know, he paid everybody. He, you know, tried to do right. It's just, you know, there's one of the guys who was just out of his element. You know, he didn't know how to do all the right channels to go through to make a, you know, company like that work, you know.
Right,
absolutely.
Now, what would have been smart would have been if he had the money that he had portrayed he had, you know, it would have been probably a good relationship if him and Paul Heyman could have got together a long time ago.
Could have been, absolutely.
From what I heard, like, he spent his mini fortune on, like, buying mansions in the hills and... he had no furniture in his houses. Like, he just did it for show. He bought the big houses.
Oh, I know, man.
And then, like, the rest of the story is, like, just using all his money and sending it right up his nose.
Oh, it was, man. It was, weird.
Yeah. Weird times.
Know, but it was a pretty good and it was a fun show, man. I got to see, Terry Warlord was there. We
yep.
We got together and stuff like that.
Yeah, Aaron's dad actually managed him. Zug's Rift managed the Warlord in the UWF for a while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
There you go. There's some trivia for you guys. Aaron's dad managed the Warlord.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then, like, I mean, you got to see Cactus Jack and Jimmy Superfly Snuka in a match. So, I mean...
That was an impressive little card.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know, I was like, man, you know. Yeah, I forgot about Cactus Jack being there.
Yep, there's some pretty big names there, considering,
yeah,
you know.
Was.
We actually found the tape the other day and just started watching it, and I was like, whoa.
You know, they had it there, and, you know, the big Grand Casino in their auditorium, you know, which it was looked like a maybe... like a WWE show right now.
Yeah, definitely.
There are people there.
Yeah, and that was before the MGM had its big fire or whatever it was.
Right.
So.
Foley actually, he talked about it in his first book for a little bit.
Who did?
Foley did in his first book.
Yeah, that's true. He did. Sid, I got a question from a fan of ours. His internet name is Evolution for Life. I guess he's a fan of Triple H's faction, Evolution.
Hey, Sid, what was it like running with what he considers the best era of the Four Horsemen, you, Barry, Arn, and Rick?
Now, that to me, you know, when I first really, you know, that was the big time for me in my life, to be a horseman, to be, you know, with those guys and be with Ole Anderson and with that whole group, and really, you know, too, is that that's when things started taking off for me a little bit. Arn started helping with me with my interviews. I started, you know, people realized, you know, before that I was Lord Humongous years ago. I didn't ever do any interviews.
Right.
I didn't tell you along with our managers, the Skyscrapers. I never did, you know, they'd ask me if I wanted to say something. I'd go, no, I'll just let Teddy do it. We didn't really have a lot of interviews, but, you know, Teddy did most of them, and Danny would do a little bit of it. And I just was like, no. And then as the horseman one day, Arn said, Sid, you've got to be able to do interviews. And he said, just start off slow. And he started me off, and then before you know it, you couldn't shut me up. You know, I was talking my head off. But that was a real, you know, initiation and being a big-time player in the business. And then, you know, I had you talking about luxuries in this life, man. I had the luxury of working with Arn and Flair and Barry in tag matches, like with Harley Race, you know, JYD, you know, against, you know, of course, Sting and Lex and guys like that. You, man, you know, you've worked with the best in the business right there.
Absolutely. The storyline I remember most from you as a horseman was, and I'm sure you've heard this so many times it's going to make you sick, the Halloween Havoc incident with Barry Windham as Sting, quote-unquote, Sting. That was such a cool story for me, just that whole thing. Well, you know, it wasn't completely obvious at first when he took a look. It's like, wait, that's not Steve Borden. Wait a minute.
But you know, the thing about it was, you know, nobody in that building knew that.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, watching it now on pay-per-view or on TV, it's like, whoa, you really couldn't tell it very first, and then you look, yeah, it's Barry Windham.
Well, when you see it live, you're caught up in the amazement.
Nobody knew about it because the boys didn't know about it.
I'm going to tell you,
and the thing is about, if that would have been done today, that can't get done today.
No, it couldn't.
It can't get done today because nobody can keep their mouth shut that long.
Nope.
It really,
absolutely.
That's what's so mind-boggling, you know, is that I thought if I ever could get back to business, I've got a couple ideas I'd like to do, a couple angles I really like to do in this business, and, you know, right now would be a good time to do them if I could make it back, knowing that, hey, this I've got a certain amount of time that I'd like to put into it, and this is it, you know. And but the thing is it would take a lot of cooperation and a lot of, you know, secrecy, and I know right now it could never happen. It could never happen or get over like it could have, you know, 8 years ago. And that's really sad to say that you can't do an angle in the business anymore because you can't trust, you know, even your own boss or even people in the office because they'll leak it out to the internet, and before you know it, you know, there'll be everybody in the audience knows about it, you know. And that's why that little things like that, while those little things were so great because nobody knew it to the second it happened. You know, I didn't even know it when the match was going on.
Yeah.
No, they never told me.
They didn't tell you that.
They
Windham
never told me. I'm not kidding, man.
Oh, that's great.
I'm not kidding. I don't that's think fun. Anybody in the whole in the business. I don't think nobody in the territory knew. I mean,
how long did it take you to figure out it was Barry?
Well, I knew right away.
So okay.
As he walked out, I said, and then he said, "Cover me." I went, what?
No.
So for a second, I thought, well, maybe I'm gonna win this belt. You know. By a fluke, you know. And,
yeah.
And then, of course, Sting came back out and pinned me. But I didn't know about that.
Oh, that's classic stuff.
That is, man. That's fun to be a part of, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that, you know, and that's fun for the, you know that, and two, you know, who used to be known for that better than anybody was Vince.
Yep.
He used to fool the people more than anybody.
Oh, no doubt.
You
no
know?
Doubt.
And it was, and that's what was great being up there too. You know, it was hush hush, man. If you leaked it out, it was your job, man.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But
as it should be, you know.
But now,
in my opinion,
people get paid to leak stuff out. It's just got.
Oh yeah,
not
ridiculous.
Even, it's not as necessary anymore because
not really.
The rivalry's not there.
Well, yeah, and also because of the internet, the advent of the internet has been so you know, as much as I'd say it's because I'm on the internet right now, it's been very detrimental as far as leaking secrets out. I mean, you know, people know the storylines before the wrestlers know the storylines.
Right. But, you know,
and we've, go ahead.
That, you go ahead. You're right. And it's, it's, I think, it sounds corny. I remember one of the spokesmen for, one of the speakers for Bill Clinton one time said it perfect. He said, the internet is a great tool, but it can be used as an awful tool.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's done for the wrestling business. It's just, you know, where, you know, you kept everybody fooled, you mislead them. Now, you know, it's like you're asking, you know, actually, you get on the internet and ask people what they think they should do, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just, you know, we had a couple people tell us, you know, over the phone or whatever, that, you know, they found out about the release on the internet before they even got the, who was that, Mike? Oh, Lash LaRue.
Yeah.
Lash LaRue told us he found out about his release on the internet before WCW even told him.
Everybody knew that, man. I mean, that was weird. It was like, almost everybody knew, like, I remember when all those notices were being given out.
Yeah.
What was the guy's name? Guy goes to Japan all the time.
Guy
used to be in WCW? Yeah, he was in WCW. He was one of the NWO. Big guy.
Scott Norton? Scott Norton?
Yeah, Scott Norton.
Scotty, okay.
You know, yeah, I remember Norton. That night, you know, him saying, look, man, I've already heard on the internet, and him asking whoever was in charge at the time. I think it was Bill Bush or whoever it was.
It's probably Bush, yeah.
He said, man, am I going to be fired? You know, because they wanted him to put over somebody that night.
Yeah.
And the guy guaranteed him he was not going to be fired.
He
got the release when he got home.
Yeah, exactly.
So that means
if somebody was in his town or, you know, found out about his mailman or something and got that information, how ridiculous is that?
I know.
That's such crap.
I mean, but, you know, that thing is, the office leaked that out that he was going to be released.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he knew it before at the show that night, because he had been off all week, and then they called him at the last second to come in and do that shot.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like to put somebody over. I can't remember who it was.
I don't either, but I know. Yeah.
He went out there, did the job, and then that was the last we saw of him.
Did the job and then lost his.
Yep. Jeez. And it was told he was not going to. You know, that's what's so heartbreaking.
You know, I've had that happen to me, too. I had a boss tell me, you won't get fired because of, well, what happened.
Right.
2 weeks later, the district manager calls me and says, we have to let you go.
Because
what?
Of that.
What's that bullshit? Because you told me this, and I'm being told this. And the funny thing is, the boss that told me I wasn't going to be fired, he's sitting behind the DM with a big old frown on his face. like it was out of his hands. Like, whatever. Shut
right.
up.
Well,
whatever.
But, you know, that's the thing is, man, it's, you know, that was, but that happened, you know, and you just, forget, you just got to shrug it off and say, man, thank God it wasn't me.
Absolutely. Mike, you have a question for Sid?
Yeah, Sid, during your last run in WCW, before what happened to you at Sin, you were having a run when you came back as the Millennium Man. What did you think of that and your feud with Goldberg?
You know, I liked that, man, and the thing about it was, that was a situation that was just a couple arm lengths away of really getting that thing where it was really getting hot. Between me and him. And if it could have been worked out where really like Eric wanted to do, and what he wanted to do was do that thing and change it and do a pay-per-view, you know, on New Year's Eve, you know, to really make that thing really hot by the first time we ever met, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And it was still good the way it went, and because, you know, everybody come in, was in a rush to try to get things over and stuff like that, or get things going or whatever, you know, what was really happening. But it was fun. But, you know, the thing is that is one of those old school things that always works, is you got to, if somebody's got some credibility, you keep that distance from them a little bit, but still put, you know, let the guy get a little heat. And then before you know it, you know, the people were cheering for me to come out and kill people. They wanted to see, you know, they really wanted to see me and Goldberg go at it, you know.
Definitely.
And, one time we were working a couple of little spot shows before the pay-per-view, and the deal was is Rob Steiner would come out halfway during the match, you know, and jump Goldberg, and we'd get our heat on him and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that way I wouldn't lose, you know, before the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
And I forget, Bill's back was hurt. He was just coming back from a back injury, and so we was taking it real easy. And, I mean, literally, man, we sit there in the headlock for 5 or 7 minutes, and people just going nuts. And the reason why is because that anticipation was really there, you know.
Yep.
And I've seen it a couple times in my life. Once when I worked as Lord Humongous down in Alabama, where they took about 8 or 9 months, you know, before they ever turned me babyface, really got me over really strong. And, I mean, for, you know, you could see that magic working. And then when you learn how simple things are in the business, and it does take that amount of time before things can get over, then when you see something like what someone said earlier, when you guys said earlier, you're so sick of these quick changes, that's why those quick changes never work, because it never has time to get set in a person's mind.
Yep.
You know, it just takes time for things to get over, for people, you know, get in a situation where they can draw. And you know, then, and when you get those people in those situations, and then it's fun.
Yep. I got a question from a guy, Steals Me on the forums, and I really don't understand it. Maybe you can help me out, Sid. He asked a question, some stupid question. I can't even read his writing, so sorry for that, buddy. But P.S., can you shout out Oh Boy like only Sid Vicious can? And he spells it O-U space B-O-I. I don't know. Was that a saying of yours?
Oh Boy.
Oh Boy?
Oh Boy, Jeff.
Oh Boy? Okay, well, he spelled it wrong, so that's why I didn't understand what he was trying to say.
No, it didn't make any, didn't ring a bell.
Okay, I didn't think so, but I figured I'd ask it just to see if anybody rung a bell, Mike or you, Sid, so never mind. So
no.
An asinine question has reared its ugly head. Okay, then. We'll move on. Let's see. I already asked that question about your... Oh, what did you think of Vince Russo's booking in WCW?
Well, you know, I like Vince. I think, you know, everybody has their own outlook on this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Vince Russo sees a little bit of way the, you know, the future of the business is going. Wanted to do it in the place that his hands were tied, that couldn't really unrein a person to do the things that he thought in his eyes were thinking. Because some of the, people say what they want, but some of those things that were happened, you know, like I remember one of them was when I think we were in Vegas one time or wherever, when Russo had the girls out there working with Scott Hall.
Yeah.
No. See, everybody at first in the beginning of the day said, man, this thing's going to suck. But that thing really got some great response out there, you know.
Yes, it did.
You just, you know, you can't judge a guy by something he did like that, because he came into a situation that everybody tried to, you know, kill it as dead as they could kill it, and then he was put in a situation to try to, you know, revive it overnight, and it just couldn't happen like that.
No, it really couldn't.
He never had a chance to really do things he wanted to do. Bill Bush came to me when Vince Russo first came in, and he said, Sid, you know, we've talked a lot, and he said, I wish you'd do me a favor, and I said, what's that? He said, I want you to do whatever Vince asks, you know, within reason, to try to give Vince, you know, a proper chance, you know, to do, you know, get things going. And I would have done that anyway, because that's, you know, the business way to do it for a new guy coming over. Give him the chance to do it. If it fails, it's not your fault. It's the guy's fault telling you to do it.
Right,
you know,
absolutely.
You're not going to get fired. The people get fired, the guys are booking mostly, you know. So do what you can and do the best you can. You know, there's some of the things I thought were, you know, some of the interviews, things they wrote out for me I didn't think was the best, you know, and I'd say it anyway, the best way I could say it, even though sometimes it was trying to make me look stupid, but they were trying to turn me babyface. And then, you know, Vince Russo was put in a weird situation almost every other week, so I would get hurt, and all of a sudden he was going to give me that big heel run. Well, Sid, we're going to have to turn you back babyface, because you're the only guy we've got here, you know, is going to be here. You know, so I was turned babyface. And I got that turn a lot in WCW, where I was heel, babyface, you know.
Yes, you did. I remember.
And so, you know, you just try to help the guy do the best you can. And, you know, there was shit, you know, I seemed like there was a new booking committee every week, you know.
Yeah, well, in 99 and 2000, that's exactly what it was, really.
It was,
man. Because you had Eric Bischoff, and you had Vince Russo and Ferrara and all them. Then you had
Kevin Sullivan.
JJ regime. And then you had Bischoff and Russo.
And then you had Dave Penzer and and Company.
Yeah.
I heard that when I came back from my shoulder injury, and I heard that Dave Finzer and Disco Inferno and these guys were on the booking committee. I knew then. I told Ron Harris, I said, "It is over, man."
Yep. Before
they ever made the announcement, and I said, "It's over." I said, "You could just bank on it." And before long, the announcements were made. You know that they were trying to sell the company, that it was a real for sure. You know, and then,
yeah. Who was in charge when you had your match with Steiner and Jarrett?
Well, that's sort of weird, you know, because in that particular time, you know, that was sort of when a lot of us were in under the influence that it was already, you know, Bischoff and the new company. Who was it, Fusia?
Fusionet Media, yeah.
Yeah, you know, because some of those guys were there even at that night, so I was under the influence at that night that we were already, you know, that company, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because, you know, that was when Eric really first showed back up. But the truth to be known was Eric was really in charge still the whole time.
Yeah, well, you know, Turner gave Fusinet and Bischoff control because they thought the sale was a done deal.
Right.
And then, you know, Fusinet looked at the books and went, "Oh, okay, well, no, never mind. We'll take that back. Thanks. We'll see ya." And then, you know, once Turner took him off TV, that was it.
Yeah.
Anyway. What's that, Mike? Go ahead.
I had a question for Sid. Sid, was there anybody who asked you to do that spot at the pay-per-view when you did jump off and you got injured?
Yeah, well, Johnny Ace had asked me to do that the very first week that I came back. The night I worked with Scott in Washington, D.C., and I said, I told him, I said, "Johnny, I haven't been back, you know, very long." And the truth was, I still wasn't fully healed for my shoulder. I didn't really have my balance because I couldn't really use my arm really well at the time. And there were a lot of things that a lot of people don't know. Like, one, I wasn't cleared for my shoulder, but I still came back because they said, "We need something, Sid. We need somebody, you know, here." And so I came back anyway. I got my, you know, so under, you know, just trying to go night to night to see what I could do, you know, and see what I could do to try to, you know, help the company get some, you know, guys back out there. And so he came with me almost every TV after that, would have been, you know, 3 or 4 TVs, and then, "Come on, man, this is really look great." And I finally just told him, I said, "Johnny, I'm just not a rope guy, you know. I can't remember the last time I jumped off the rope." You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not that, you know, you always want to try. And the thing is about me, it's sort of with my downfall, is that everyone knew, man, that I really would try to do anything to help, you know.
Yeah.
And I'd come back before I was supposed to, or I would go on these long, you know, promotion things when I wasn't supposed to. Just, you know, all kind of things. And I just feel like maybe I was a little taken advantage of it. Finally, they wrote it in the script. And I went to Johnny even that night, and I said, "Man, I just don't feel good about jumping off this rope." He said, "Well, Sid, it's so important, it's a situation, because, you know, we got you on the rope kicking Scotty and then, you know, panning back to the back to get the mystery guy, which, you know, was Animal."
Yeah.
And, you know, he was going to come down and turn on me anyway, so.
Exactly.
I just didn't see the importance for me jumping off that rope and then for them to go all, you know, just to go back to back, you know, it could have been anything. But he kept on and kept on and kept on. And I said, "Okay, I'll try it," you know. Just a mistake.
Did he say
were you going for a drop kick or was it just a basic kick?
No, what it was a, you know, I was going to jump off and kick him to the head. You know,
okay.
A boot to the face.
Right.
And then I guess, you know, I would have just kicked him in the face like a regular boot and just sort of, you know, stepped on the mat and hopefully landed on my feet or rolled over or whatever. See, I didn't even know what to do, really.
Yeah, exactly.
So I even said this. I said, "You know, the thing I'm worried about doing that." I said, "And the other thing is, you know," I said, "Scotty, you feel comfortable me jumping off this rope, kicking you in the face, not knowing what I'm doing, you know?" So everybody's like, "Yeah, I guess I feel comfortable." But to me, I feel like Scotty didn't come in fast enough, and then when I jumped, he sort of hesitated or wasn't there, and I was, you know, I don't have the longest hang time in the world. You know, I'm not.
No, not really.
I'm not a Michael Jordan, you know.
yeah.
And so when I came off, and so that, you know, second he should have been there, or I would have wished he would have been there, I'll put it like that.
Yeah.
I came down with my right leg, I believe, still up, and, you know, with my knee up. You know,
right.
Still maybe deliver the blow, or, you know, I was thinking if I don't get the foot to him, maybe I get the knee to him. You know, and then give like a high knee off the thing and then fall over to the side. Well, that never, he never got close enough for that.
No.
So when I hit the mat, I landed with my left leg, you know, exactly straight, and then it hyperextended where I couldn't get, you know, buckle it where it takes some of the pressure off, and it just, yep. It snapped right there at the, you know, the point that was at that time, you know, if you look at the angle and stuff, that was the spot that was going to be most vulnerable.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the thing is, it kind of looks like when you hit that you were trying to lean to the one side to fall,
right?
But it just didn't go fast enough, and your leg went faster than your upper body,
right?
And that's exactly what happened because not to take you back or take anybody listening back for that matter, because you know I still see it once in a while,
right?
Just you know the whole thing, you know it was what it was, a complete fluke.
Yeah, and the thing is that's what. You know, so many times I've been in those locker rooms going over goofy little things to try to make a match or something, and you know, sometimes, you know, most of the times the simplest things are better. If Scott is, you know, takes a perfect boot out, you know, just let me stand in the corner, stick my foot up, it looks like it kills the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
He takes such a good boot. Why couldn't we just done that? But no, it had to be this because it's so spectacular, and you know. That right there, you know, has been a lot of a cause for a lot of injuries in the business because of that reason right there, because the envelope has been set up high. And you know, you get these situations where, you know, these guys that are creating matches now, they're creating moves for you, and they shouldn't be doing that. You know, their creative part should be, okay, well, let me hear your match. Let's be sure, you know, A gets over in this match, you know, and then, you know, B still comes out looking okay.
Absolutely.
Or we want A to come out spectacular. We don't care about B. It doesn't matter how it's supposed to come out. But, you know, and then, okay, then the finish. But you don't have to, you know, all those great things are that spectacular. And I'll give you a good example. I saw a deal the other night on, I guess it would have been SmackDown, with Eddie Guerrero and that guy that does the rap thing.
John Cena.
John Cena, yeah.
Yeah. All A. Grell did to that guy was give him a couple punches to the head, one clothesline over the top rope, and one over the top rope, and the place went crazy.
Yep, absolutely.
And they really didn't need to do that. The guy could have gotten out of the ropes without him, and the place was still went crazy. But, you know, that SEMA guy's pretty comfortable with it. I can do a over the top, you know, everybody can do a over the top rope, you know, clothesline, but, you know, that jumping over the top is a little crazy. You know, I don't know, I haven't done that in years, you know.
Right, exactly.
You know, I could have done over the top rope, took the bump before. Not anybody in the business could have done that little spot. That's the thing is that's what I would think that, you know, if I run the business with all the injuries that have happened over the last few years, I would try to minimize those to keep my talent healthy to where I can know they're going to be out there every night.
Exactly.
You know, don't keep on pressing this new generation and this crap and tell me that I've got to, you know, jump off a 30-fucking-foot cage to, you know, get over, because you're talking to the wrong person, because I know better than that.
I mean,
exactly.
Everything's getting higher and higher risk.
Exactly. So that's the thing is I think that's what I was trying to say earlier, is that I think it's the perfect opportunity to take the business back down a little bit, simple, you know, make it good guy versus bad guy, and then within 6 months or a year or 2 years or 3 years, when you start doing that middle the road crap again, it'll be exciting again.
Right.
Absolutely.
And don't leave yourself, you know, not prepared to come back with, have some heels ready, have some straight up baby faces ready, you know, and then, you know, those guys get burned out, put them in the middle of the road. If that's what you think the business is going to, but don't leave yourself, you know, unarmed or, you know, your home front uncovered or not prepared, you know.
Definitely.
Well,
and
I
you know,
by talking that you've been watching Raw and SmackDown somewhat regularly, would that be accurate? Or
I've saw the last few weeks about 5 or 10 or 15 minutes of each one. And
oh, okay. Because I was going to ask you. Somebody asked what you thought of Kane's current angle on Raw right now.
You know what? I haven't seen. I saw the one thing with him and Jim Ross. And,
oh.
And I, you know, when Jim Ross says, "Hey, you're not scarred," you know. And then he went crazy and caught Jim Ross on fire. And the next thing I know, Jim Ross is back on TV, so I don't know what's going on with that. But, you know.
Yeah, well, they got him in a thing with Shane McMahon because Kane attacked Mrs. McMahon, Linda.
He tombstoned her on the stage at the Raw that I went to.
Yeah, and so Shane's involved in right now. And what happened Monday, Kane lured Shane out to the back.
That's right. He went into that deal.
In the big old fire pit.
They're going to have an Inferno match coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what it's going to be?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
and keep in mind that Kane hasn't won one of those yet. There's only been two of them, and Kane's lost both of them. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I like Glenn, man. He is.
He's so good, and he has been for so long.
Yeah.
You know.
He played that part really well.
Absolutely.
I'm going to tell you something. You know, I was working a gimmick similar to that as Lord Humongous one time.
Yes.
It is really hard to keep a gimmick like that going a long time. Because after a while, what happens is, you know, and it's getting like that right now with these things you're talking about. You know, you told me about the match. I haven't seen it or heard about it. But as an adult now, even as a, you know, if I was just a wrestling fan, I'd have to say, all right, now I'm being insulted a little bit, you know, because I know this really doesn't happen. You know, I might think guys get mad and fight each other in the ring, but, you know, they're not going to really allow an Inferno match, you know.
No, of course not.
And then, but...
Which is why they put all that flame retardant stuff on him beforehand, you know.
he does look ugly, though.
Yeah, he does.
You know what, there's no burn marks. He's just not an attractive man.
That's what his angle should be. Is that I'm just ugly. I'm gonna fight all the good looking guys, and you know.
They could play it off as his plastic surgery from his burns.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
They left me with this hideous face.
Actually, that he was uglier, you know, before.
Oh, jeez. We remember him as Isaac Yankum with the teeth, man. The teeth were brutal.
Oh, I know.
He should be thanking God he got burned. He fixed his damn teeth.
Exactly.
That was nasty.
Put those teeth back with his ugly face now. He'd really be twice as ugly.
Yeah, I know.
No, me and him, man, he looks a little bit like me.
You know what? I have said that so many times.
You know, well, our hair was about the same, you know, same color, same curliness, you know, all that crap.
Yeah.
It's weird. We sort of worked the same angle before. He done the Kane thing. I did the Lord Humongous thing.
Yeah.
But, who knows?
What's similar that I think about him compared to you is, like, you had one of the best big man bodies, and he's in really good shape for being a big man.
Right. He really is. And, you know, we worked out once or twice together. It's weird. Some of our things, like our squats and stuff, we're tall guys. We both got really good, what I used to have, and I'm sure he still does, really good squat strength, you know. He was he's a 500-pound squatter or better, you know.
Jeez, taking back to football days, trying to see who could get the biggest squat. That's crazy. 1,000 pounds, man. I'd freaking break my back.
It's about 820 my time, man.
That's true. And you know what? We've got, I think, two more interviews to do today, man. We've been plugging them out like crazy today.
Let's save something for us for another time.
Definitely, absolutely. Definitely.
All right.
Sid, we want to thank you for taking the time out. We know you. We know you're doing the rehab, and you're a busy guy, and hope you got lots of stuff planned for Labor Day. I know I don't, so I'm hoping everybody else does.
All right.
And we'll definitely have you back on the show in the near future.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thanks for being very candid. You're very open with us, and that was very cool of you.
Is there anything you want to plug? Is there any...
You mentioned one thing to me that you're going to do about a week or so.
Yeah, here the next couple weeks, supposed to have an interview with USA Today. I'm not told exactly all what they're wanting to know, but they're wanting to know a little bit about the business, you know, and I'm going to try to find out what some of the questions are, and then probably do the interview next week. But I think it has something to do with, you know, why is the business been so unprotective of its employees, why doesn't it have any type of retirement or things like that? Some of those questions, I think those are some of the questions. But, you know, that's some of the questions. That's a lot of questions I've been asked lately. You know, why is there just so much, you know, it seems like heartache in this business, you know? All the things that have happened, and, you know, and sometimes I think about it, you know, and I really can't believe, you know, I know the thing with Owen was a big mistake, and man, I loved Owen to death, but, you know, then it's like Unreal, then it was, you know, Davey Boy, and then it was, you know, then recently, you know, Kurt, you know,
yep.
I was just, watch TV sometimes, and I see some things, you know, me and Kurt were in a lot of places together, and we did that movie. We was down in L.A., out in L.A. about 6 weeks together on our days off, and got to spend a lot of time with Kurt, and, you know, went to a lot of places, and he got to tell me a lot of things that personally I didn't really know about him. And really funny guy, really nice guy, a guy that really cared about his family and everything, and it just think that, boom, you know, these guys are just, you know, these great commodities we had in the business are being taken away from us, and I think after that one, I think it's starting to be realized now a little bit, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, man, I just can't. Every time you hear something, it's just been. I haven't heard any good news, you know. The whole horrible thing with Lex
And Liz, yeah.
Liz, you know, I've known Liz for a long time. We never went to dinner or nothing together, but you know, I've known her. I've always had great conversation with her. Great person, and you know, and again, Lex, you know, I've known Lex a long time, and I just can't see that, you know. And even if I was a hateful person, I can't see myself seeing that, you know, which I'm not, but you know, just some of these things just getting, I don't know, maybe
out of hand,
maybe it's a sign, you know, one of these weird deals is saying. Just don't even think about coming back to the business. You know, it is over for your kind, you know, that it's not the same anymore. I don't know. I hate to think that it is.
We would, too.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully it will get back to that time where, you know, things were a lot better than they are today, that's for sure. And
well,
hopefully...
It can't get worse. Well...
Yeah, well, it can, but hopefully it won't.
Yeah,
you know, if it gets worse, Mike and I might be out of a job, too.
Oh, no.
We'll be talking about it all.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll get on some other media outlet where we can talk about, yeah, we lost our job of wrestling because it went out of business.
Well, if the business goes out of business, then you know there'll be some really good interviews because then people won't be scared to say, you know, talk about everything.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Guys, well, y'all have a good evening, man. And all right, Labor Day weekend, and I look forward to talking to y'all again.
Thanks very much, Sid. That's going to do it for this edition of Extreme Mayhem. We want to thank Sid Vicious one more time, and we will see you all next time.